Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. The guiding voice or feelings of the heart have been referred to in writings and teachings throughout millennia. According to the HeartMath Institute, whose mission is to help people bring their physical and emotional systems into coherent alignment with their heart's intelligent guidance, unlocking this inner guidance will become the new baseline for creating the world as we want it to be. Howard Martin, one of the original leaders who helped found HeartMath and the Global Coherence Initiative, joins me today to discuss how developing our alignment with our heart's intelligent guidance system can not only enable us to navigate these changing times with more personal balance and heart-based connection with each other, but also help shift humanity's energies from separation to cooperation, resulting in higher solutions to our global problems. Howard Martin, welcome.
Thank you, Sandy. I'm glad to be with you today. I think this is our first time together on this show, if I'm not wrong.
On this show, we've actually spoken on many others. And in fact, when I first interviewed you back in, I think it was 2012, a year that many had earmarked as either the beginning of the end of civilization or the start of a new golden era, you were talking about how you believed that a new world was being born from an expansion in evolutionary consciousness. Do you still feel that way?
Actually, I do, even more so than I did in 2012, despite what's happening in the world today and the things that we see and the polarizations that are happening. It's a hard one to see sometimes for me, and I'm sure for many people. But when I see it, you know, sort of through the, we'll call it the eyes of the heart, and begin to look at the world, I can see that so many things are just being brought to the surface now. They're moving out of the way. The new is coming in, and that's what's creating the stir, so to speak, that's causing everything to be so chaotic at times. And I also see so many more people that are demonstrating a new way of living and a new way of thinking, a new way of behaving, and many great things that are happening around the world. So there are times when I can feel a bit down about that and begin to question my own perceptions and what I've said in public so many times. But when I find that deeper place within inside myself where self-security does come from, I see a grand world emerging. I see some new things happening all over the place, and that I believe we're still on track. Despite the challenges that we're facing, I think we're headed in the right direction.
Well, of course, we can't, you know, we can't create something new until we've dismantled the old. And I know, you know, human nature likes to have predictability, and it's always unnerving when we go through times of chaos. I often wonder what it would have been like if HeartMath had been around at the end of, the Roman Empire or something like that, and we could have measured, you know, what was going on there in within people and compare it to what's going on today.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, there's a concept, you know, that people talk about that I've been pondering some myself lately of highest best outcome. You know, we'll often send our intentions, our prayers, our meditations, our heart to highest best outcome. And that takes a lot of detachment because highest best outcome may not be what serves our personality, you know, what we think it ought to be. And that's where the distinction and the line gets drawn there between what I really think highest best outcome is and what it is. And does it please me? And I think some of the world events that are happening today, I'm trying to see those through the eyes of, like, what's taking place in all of this that's actually a highest best outcome. And again, easier some days than others. But I feel like, you know, there's a magnificent new world coming into view. I see that so many different places, and I see it in the hearts of people. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that are rocking and rolling right now, that's for sure. But I try not to let that be the focus of my attention. I try to focus on this magnificent movement of heart emerging in the world that I want to be a part of and do what I can to facilitate.
HeartMath has been doing research on heart, brain, body communication for more than 25 years. You must have measured an increase in coherence globally. At the same time, are you also tracking the anxiety levels?
Yeah, we are both actually. And let me say, that anxiety level is intense. And, one of the things that's creating it is an erosion of our self-security. When self-security begins to erode, it opens the door for feelings like anxiety to show up, and the sense of overwhelm, and all the different feelings that many people, all of our listeners today, I'm sure, are experiencing some degree of that. It starts with the erosion of self-security. When we don't feel secure, we don't know what's happening, we feel a sense of trepidation or fear. And when that starts, and unless it's really managed early in the process, it can lead to those anxious feelings and that sense of overwhelm and overcare about everything that's happening. That's where the heart comes into play. Our heart, as I've said many times, is our own best friend. It's our own most reliable guide that we have to making decisions, big and small. And it's the source of our self-security. We're in touch with that part of ourselves, that deeper core, authentic heart. That's when we can feel okay. It's when we can feel like, things will work out, or that we can accept whatever comes our way. It's that place inside that's really the hero within, where true courage comes from. And so the antidote to the erosion of self-security, to me, is the development of heart intelligence. And as people, get in touch more with that part of themselves, with something they already have inside, then there's less erosion, let's put it that way, of the feelings of loss of security that lead to some of these other problems that are so prevalent in the lives of people today.
So, Heart Intelligence is the name of the new book that you've produced along with your colleagues at HeartMath. Can you define what exactly is heart intelligence?
Let me share the characteristics of it with you, if I may, with the listeners, the things that I've felt about it and learned about it in these many years. You mentioned we've been doing this for 25 years. I'm very proud of that, even though it makes me feel old sometimes. We have been doing this a really long time, and it goes back longer than that before we ever formed a HeartMath, with our own exploration of ourselves and of consciousness that led us to even understanding that we could put together something like what HeartMath has become. But heart intelligence, first of all, it is the core of our authentic self. I used that term just a few minutes ago. It's that place deep inside of us where our real self is, the self that's beyond the false illusions that we create about ourselves, or the attempts to meet others' expectations, and all these different layers that we put on ourselves that are not really who we truly are. So that's what heart intelligence is at the very beginning. So it manifests as a type of intelligence that's intuitive. It's very high speed. It brings us to more of a direct knowingness much quicker than the normal logical processes that we use, which we need to use. I'm not down on those for many things in life. But the heart's intelligence responds to us in ways that gives us sort of an inner knowing. It's a feeling, really, about we should do this or we shouldn't do that that shows up very often when we're in touch with the heart's intelligence. Another important characteristic of it is that it is that part of ourselves that gives birth or rise to some of the emotional states that are the most regenerative and beneficial. And they would be having feelings of love and care and compassion, tolerance, patience, forgiveness. All those type of feelings, to me, emerge from the heart's intelligence. So it's the mother or the birthplace of those type of emotions and feelings. When we're in touch with all of that, it's healthy. It certainly promotes physical states in the body that are healing, that are good for us, that are regenerative for us, that slow down the aging process. And even more importantly, it gives us the ability to be our very best. When we're in touch with that place inside ourselves, that's when we surprise ourselves. That's when we do things that we often thought we couldn't. And we become, the best person we can be. And in those places, that's where achievement happens. That's where, the real successes in life come from, is when we're able to manifest that and put our heart into something and see the result of it. So all that adds up to this highly beneficial psychological and physiological state that is intuitive in nature, and that to me is an essential state that we need to develop in order to navigate these changing times. That can sound like a lot of work, and in some ways it is, but the good news, Sandy, is that it's something we already have. We were born with it. We just lose it over time. It gets drowned out by the roar of ambition and survival. We start living from the neck up, but it doesn't ever really go away. What I've learned is that we go away from it. It's always there. So we can learn to return to that part of ourselves, and we can dust it off. We can access more of our heart's intelligence, and then we can build from that. We can make it grow. We can evolve it. We can plug into it at a deeper level. But the good news is it's always there. We all have hearts. We all have these great, wonderful, beautiful hearts. We just need to access more of that part of ourselves moment to moment, day to day.
Now, you co-authored The Heart Math Solution, which is considered to be a classic, the definitive work on the intelligence of the heart. And now, as I said earlier, you know, you've just released the new book, Heart Intelligence, Connecting with the Intuitive Guidance of the Heart. Mm-hmm. What is new in this book?
Well, part of what's new is that, you know, Doc Childry took a more direct approach. Doc Childry is the founder of HeartMath. So in Heart Intelligence, the first half of the book is new information, but similar information to what a reader might find in HeartMath Solution, but certainly updated. HeartMath Solution was written in 1999, or published in 1999. And I'm really proud to say it has become a classic and a bestseller and all those different things that you want a book to be. In Heart Intelligence, we cover some similar material, but it's all updated. It's got a newness and a freshness to it. The way we wrote the book, and first of all, we didn't write a book for a very long time, and we were always getting pressure to put out a new book. And none of us felt that we wanted to take on a book by ourselves or take on the responsibility for writing and then promoting a book. We were doing so many other things. And so we agreed that maybe the best way to do this is to write it together. So there's four authors on this. When we first positioned that with the publisher, he freaked out. He was saying, we can't do this. This is you have to have an author. You can't have four authors on a book. And we said, well, just read what we've been doing. And he came back and he said, this is brilliant. He said, what you guys have done is, he said, you've written a book in a collaborative style that allows for self-expression. He said, it really represents sort of the new direction the world is going of collaboration and not competition, mm-hmm. a blending of viewpoints, a blending of beliefs without so much tension and conflict and judgment. And that's the way the book sort of reads. Now, the real new part of it, as I said a minute ago, is Doc Childry, the founder, really went in and wrote some things very specifically from him. The second half of that book is Doc. And Doc writes about some subjects like what is our soul, which he's never written about before. He really digs in on subjects like the true difference between, let's say, compassion, sympathy, and empathy. He talks about the fears that people face today. And a lot of things that he brings to light in the chapters that he wrote. So you combine the newness of the first half of the book, HeartMath research, and talking about social coherence and social science research and various subjects that we cover that we didn't cover in HeartMath Solution. And then you add in Doc's piece, which was Doc really, you know, really bringing some of his thoughts to the forefront now for the first time in a long time. And I think that's what's good about the book Heart Intelligence. I think those elements make it a good book, and it could be an important book for many people who read it.
You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with Howard Martin, Executive Vice President of HeartMath and founding member of the Global Coherence Initiative, about their latest book, HeartMath. We'll be back with more from Howard Martin after this break.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Radio's What Is Going On show. If you've been on a spiritual journey and know yourself to be more than just your body, mind and emotions, yet still struggle to fully love yourself and the life you're living, if you experience childhood challenges that continue to play out as limiting patterns in your daily life, if you long for success in your relationships and career but keep finding it eludes you, the Journey Back to Love Symposium will not only dramatically shift your perceptions about love, but also help you understand and integrate all the places where you may have secretly believed you were broken. Filmed over 7 days with 8 internationally renowned teachers and speakers, the Journey Back to Love Symposium series is packed with life-transforming insights, tools, practical processes, gifts, and wisdom. So, if you're ready to transform your beliefs about love, success, and freedom, and to finally put all your perceived limitations, fears, and failures in your relationships and life behind you, I invite you to visit the JourneyBackToLoveSymposium.com and start your journey back to love at a huge discount with the coupon code JBL3.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is How I Live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Howard Martin, about 5 years ago, I think, when we first spoke, there wasn't an awful lot of research out there, and there weren't a lot of people actually believing, as there are now, that the heart is pump of research, just to see how many articles I could find on that topic. And it was really interesting to see how many people were talking about the heart as the body's primary energy field regulator. One even said that it's a portal into the deep meaning and purpose of human consciousness. Just before the break, you talked about Doc writing about what is our soul. Could you expand on that a little bit, what he says our soul is?
Well, you know, I think, to be honest with you, Sandy, I'd like to try to do that, but it's really more of Doc's, work on that. I could go into memory a little bit and remember what he wrote about the soul. It's a complex subject, actually, and, rather than me trying to answer that, and I'm not saying this in order to get people to purchase a book, that's really not my intention in any way, but it'd be better for people to read it and absorb it, I think, a bit, because there's a lot of it's like I said, a very complex subject, and I think reading what Doc has to say and absorbing it for people would be the better way to approach that particular question. Obviously, it's a part of us that's something larger than our ordinary self, something that feeds into human consciousness, something that I believe that we access beyond time and space, obviously. Those are the type of things that I can feel about it. But I think what's most important is that through the heart, we can begin to draw more of that part of ourselves into our humanness so that it manifests more, those qualities manifest more in us as people. And that changes the way we think and the way we perceive our awareness, our consciousness, and, of course, our behaviors. And it gives us a greater power to not only change ourselves, but to help affect positive change in the world.
You know, you mentioned that intuition is an important aspect of heart intelligence. And, you know, we hear more and more about intuition, and many, many people now talk about, you know, their own intuition. And it's become quite accepted. How can intuition help us deal with the challenges that we're facing?
Well, that's a good question, Sandy. I think, first of all, one of the things that to recognize our approach, at least the heart math about intuition, is to make it feel practical. Often intuition is looked at as something, you know, sort of spiritual and mystical and associated with insights or events in our life where we have these tremendous ahas of something greatly important that, you know, it was a breakthrough or a great discovery or that type of an event. Our feeling is that intuition is really always there. It's like a field of information that, you know, is vast, that interfaces with us in a way that does not necessarily have to go through the stepping stone process that we sometimes do to reach an understanding, more of a direct knowingness. That's a form of intuition. But that this field of information is there. It's our ability to tune into it that makes the difference on whether we have got intuitive guidance or we don't. So it's a learning to sort of resonate or tune into this field that already exists. And that happens a lot in day-to-day living in terms of little decisions that we need to make. One of the best ways to look at it would be, let's say, the sensitivity that we have sometimes of knowing exactly what to say in a sensitive conversation. The tone of voice, the words that we've chosen, the body language you're using, all of that can have a certain flow to it that allows understanding to emerge, that avoids the conflict in a sensitive communication somehow, some way. And it's a guidance that we have. It's intuitive in nature. Now, that wouldn't necessarily be looked at as intuition, but in fact, I believe that it is. Another example that I use of practical intuition is in the hiring process in a job. If anybody listening has ever had to hire someone, they know the process you go through. And for those listeners in the United States, well, around the world, you may not know this, but in the United States, where I live, you can't ask personal questions in a job interview. I can't ask a potential employee coming to want to work at HeartMath whether they have children. I can't ask them where they live. I can't ask them anything about their health, much less about any personal challenges they may be facing. It's against the law, labor laws here. So I can be looking at resumes, and I can see that the resumes look all qualified, and I'm having to make a choice between, you know, two or three people. Well, it finally comes down to what I feel about this person. Do I feel that they're going to be a good fit for the organization, that they're going to be happy here, that they're going to be productive in their job, that they're going to, you know, do well in the culture? This is something I can't know. I have to sense. I have to feel it. And that's where intuition becomes very practical. So how do we use it to deal with the challenges? Well, I think that the first thing we have to do in regards to intuition is let it try to guide our choices in shorter time frames, like more moment-to-moment, day-to-day type time frames, and use it to help with choices about where we put our energy and where we don't. One way to look at that would be in context of, let's say, the news. You know, the news can be very disconcerting. And sometimes my heart's intuitive guidance is saying to me, but don't look at so much news. You know, get off your phone. Don't be looking at the CNN site so much. Or I can say, well, I need to understand what's going on in the world. My job is to put out care and compassion and to facilitate, you know, people through these changing times as best I can as one man, part of a really great organization. But there are times when if I'm listening to that intuition, it's saying, well, you don't need to do that right now. Do something else. You can put your energy a different place. Or, you know, intuition can guide me on how much significance to be added to something, whether it's something in a work environment here or whether it's a global issue. Intuition can give me that fine-tuned sensitivity of how much to invest my emotional energy, especially in any given situation or any given topic or that's going on. So it's tuning into that and looking for it to help give us guidance in the moment-to-moment ways. Now, where intuition will play a bigger role is that it is through the intuitional intelligence, I believe, that we will find solutions to the challenges that we do face. Many of the challenges we face today appear to have no solution. I believe that they do, but that it's a matter of we haven't been able to see those solutions yet. We won't see them, I don't think, through grinding more data or trying to pound it out through our intellect. We're going to be able to see into solutions and find solutions that can meet our challenges as we slow it down a little bit. We go at it through the heart. Then those pictures, those solutions show up. They can emerge. I've seen this happen many times in my own life, especially in, let's say, just the business, the evolution of HeartMath. And I think that this is true for the global challenges that we are confronting today. It'll be through an intuitional contact that allows us to come up with the solutions that we need. So those are just examples of how intuition can play a part in our daily lives and in our ability to flow with and understand the changes that we're going through today.
The research that you're undertaking is moving more in the direction of exploring interactions between people and all living systems. I mean, if we listen to Indigenous peoples, if we read our history books, we know that we once had a much tighter connection with the natural world around us, and you know, we've obviously lost that connection over the years. What exactly are you doing to you know, reconnect?
Oh, it's a secret. Secret research going on HeartMath. Well, you're right. You know, there a lot of the Indigenous cultures understood that, you know, we were all sort of one, especially in connection between people and nature. I think was a characteristic of some of the Indigenous cultures for sure. So and we've been doing, as you mentioned, this for a long time now, 25 years, so lots and lots of research. People ever want to check out HeartMath Research. There's over 300 studies published now by us or third-party researchers that use HeartMath. Over 300 published studies, which is amazing to me. I saw that figure the other day. And so we've done a lot of research in many different areas, especially on heart, brain, body, communication, coherence, and some of these subjects that I've talked about. And we probably talked about it in 2012. Today we've taken the research a different direction. It's about looking at, you know, the energetic connectivity that's happening between all living systems. You see, I believe we live in this vast field of information, this field of energy. It's reflecting back to us not just what we think in our minds, but especially what we feel in our hearts. And that there's this interconnected web that's going on between us and nature, between nature and us, you know, between us and the planet and us, and worlds beyond ours, beyond our solar system, way, way out into the universe. There's this interconnected web that's taking place. And so the research we're doing now is we're breaking that down. Our research has always been practical at the beginning. We build things from the ground up here. So we're doing experiments now showing what happens when people are in group settings, what happens to their heart rhythms, what happens to their coherence, what's going on in interactive environments like in a work environment, and being able to show that, you know, in certain states when people are more heart-centric in nature, that these connections increase, that the web of connection becomes more obvious. It has a direct impact on, you know, the performance of a group, the interactions that take place within the group. Additionally, we're looking at some things on a larger scale. There's a new study that was just published. You can go read about it on the heartmath.org website. And basically what we were showing is that people seem to be connected to the field of information, the energetic fields produced by the Earth itself. Now, there's been plenty of studies showing that these fields do affect us. But what's cool about this study is it's showing that these effects are actually happening almost simultaneously, that this effect that's happening across populations, and that the Earth itself, as it goes through its changes, as the fields go through their changes, that we respond pretty close to the same time in the same way, which means there's a global synchronization that's taking place. Now, this was done with people in California, different parts of California, different professions, different geographical locations, and it's tracking them over a period of a number of days. And as changes were occurring in the geomagnetic and ionospheric fields, what was happening is their heart rhythms were changing, all in the same way at the same time. The psychological surveys that they were filling out randomly were showing similar feelings at the same times. So that study is really interesting in and of itself, but there's a larger study that will be published a little later this year. This was done by people around the world wearing portable heart rate variability, heart rhythm recorders, for over a six-month period of time. And they're in places like Saudi Arabia, Lithuania, New Zealand, and the United States. And what the preliminary results of that study, I can't talk much about it because until it's published, it's what's called embargoed. But the study is being published because it shows that there is, in fact, a global synchronization happening between changes occurring in the Earth's fields and us as a global population. This is just extra evidence or extra proof that we are all connected in some way. Now, it goes on beyond that. We're doing research on trees and the connection between people and trees. That sounds a little woo-woo, but really it's bringing to the forefront the connection that we have to nature, that it's not just between people or between us and the Earth's energetic fields, but there's also this amazing connection that the indigenous people often referred to that's happening between us and the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom. So the purpose of all this is, the punchline for me on it is simply this. It's like, we're all in it together. And what each and every one of us does affects everybody else and everything else. We can visit this when we come back.
We will certainly revisit this when we come back. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with author, speaker, and key spokesperson for HeartMath and the Global Coherence Initiative, Howard Martin. We'll be back with more after the break.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the Internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family, and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Howard Martin, you were talking before the break about, you know, the work with trees, etc. I had the wonderful opportunity to visit Damanhur in Italy last year, and they have a forest there that they've brought back from being very diseased to being very, very healthy. And of course, they do work all over the globe with what they call orienting trees. Have you had much interaction with them?
I don't think we've had a lot of formal interaction. Certainly amazing place, and certainly people that we are close to have been close to them. So there's a connection there. Nothing formally is being done with them on a research level. I'd love to go visit one day. I'll be in Italy in November speaking over there. Maybe I will. It would be kind of fun for me, actually.
It's interesting that so many people are talking about the same things and doing very similar things right now.
Well, there's a connection going on, that's for sure. Before I go any further, let me give people the name of the research study that I mentioned and the journal that it's in. Would that be okay, Sandy?
Absolutely.
And I got a piece of paper off my desk while we were on break. It's too long for me to have memorized. The study is published in the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health. And it's called The Synchronization of Human Autonomic Nervous System Rhythms with Geomagnetic Activity in Human Subjects. So it's a very formal professional research study showing the synchronization that I was talking about, published in a major journal, International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health. And that's where people could find that study or find it on the heartmath.org website. But you're right, there's so many things that are connecting. There's a consciousness climate change is happening. And to me, there's a movement that's happening. And we call it the Add Heart Movement. That's the way HeartMath plays in that movement. It's like a sort of a global momentum that's happening where people are operating more from the qualities associated with heart, and they're manifesting those in everything that they do. And this momentum is growing and building. It goes back to the first question you asked me today in our time together about, you know, in 2012 I talked about a new world emerging. Do I still see that today? And my answer to that, of course, was yes, I do, even more so. And part of what I see is this movement of adding heart. People that are adding the qualities of the heart, infusing their actions and interactions with more heart. And that's exciting. That's amazing to me, especially in the face of the conflict and the tension and the anxiety and the overwhelm people are feeling today. I still see the spirit of the human heart emerging in these wonderful and dynamic ways.
You were also telling us before the break about, you know, this particular research with the heart rate variability monitors. Now, I remember some years ago you talked about creating a group of coherence builders. Is that the group that were wearing the heart rate variability monitors?
They were just people who were research subjects. I'm sure some of them came from the Global Coherence Initiative. The coherence building movements really changed with us into the Add Heart Movement. You know, it reflects itself in the new HeartMath brand and in everything that we're doing right now. And, of course, movements don't happen because you create them. I think what movements happen because they're supposed to. But you can certainly do what you can to create the environment for a movement to occur. And that's what we've been doing. So coherence builders are the same sort of things, like people that are really going a little deeper within themselves, developing more of their heart's intelligence, and then taking a more active role, a participatory role, in helping others do the same. And that's the movement that that I'm all about today, and it's why I still love doing what I do so much, and why I appreciate opportunities like right now being on this show with you and having the listeners that we have, is to share about this, to give people an opportunity to know that they can make a contribution through their own hearts and through the energetic connectivity that they have with every other living being and system on this planet and beyond.
When you first started this work 25 years ago, do you have any idea that you would still be doing it 25 years later and it would have evolved into what it's become?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, if you go back into the genesis of heart math, it started with Doc Childrey and friends. And we were all young people living in rural North Carolina, and we were all rock musicians. And we were about as wild and coarse as you could get. But we had something in common, is we'd all sort of gotten bit by the spiritual bug, and we wanted to learn, we wanted to grow, we wanted to explore, and we began to do that. And as we began to explore, is when we began to understand heart differently. And we did this in obscurity, Sandy, for over 15 years. It was heart math wasn't born because we had this insight one day and decided we needed to put an organization together around it and try to be somebody. It was an organic unfoldment and process that happened over a very long time. And if you'd have told me in 1990, right before I moved to California to begin the process with Doc and others of starting heart math, that all this was going to happen, my mind could not have accepted it. It would have been far beyond what I could accept. I could have projections about how it might be, but I could never, ever have seen this. And I'm glad you asked that question, because it's really good for me to remember that. In the midst of my busyness, in the midst of the business and stuff that I have to do and all that I can complain about, it's important for me to step back and go, really? Look at what happened. And appreciate that and have gratitude for that at a deeper level. It's never a process that practice that isn't important. So thanks for asking me the question, because it rekindles that understanding in me.
Well, it really is a magnificent thing that you have done. And it reminds me of Margaret Mead's famous saying, you know, never doubt that a small group of people can change the world. Tell me about the kinds of people that you're working with now, probably organizations, governments, etc., that you may have never dreamed of working with 25 years ago.
Well, yeah, there are, and it's amazing that's happened. I mean, one of the things that I think we did is we were able to bring heart, so to speak, into more of a mainstream acceptance. Of course, science was the bridge we used to do that with. But, it, you know, where heart is being talked about and accepted today can be very surprising. Let me give you just a couple of examples. We have partnerships with other organizations in some parts of the world, and I manage all those relationships. I've had some of them a very long time. The partnership we have in Benelux, which is Netherlands, Belgium, and Luxembourg, has been with me about 10 years. About 3 years ago, they were able to arrange a contract with the Dutch government, and that contract is still ongoing today. And what they've been doing for the last 3 years is they are providing a heart math module, a three-hour training module, as part of a resilience program that's training every single Dutch police officer in some heart math. 40,000 police officers are being trained to understand heart and coherence and the benefits of that in the work that they do and in their personal lives.
Wow.
I've met some of these people. I've been there, and they've told me how much this has changed their life and how much it's changed how they do policing. Mm. That's one example. Another one I'm real proud of is all the work we've done in healthcare institutions. We've been involved for a long time in large healthcare institutions, hospitals. We've trained thousands and thousands of nurses. Nurses have hard jobs these days. The healthcare system's a tough place to be in the United States, and they work long hours, and hospital environments are not always easy, and they are not able to do all the things that they want to do for the patients. There's a lot of stresses that they face, and we've been able to train these people and have dynamic results, statistically significant results, been documented, even cost savings results, showing that, you know, through heart math training, retention is better. Nurses stay on the job. There's money saved there. The quality of health care goes up. The ratings in the health care systems that they are in, their ratings increase. And some, sure, there's many factors involved in something like that, but heart mass is a contributor, and they acknowledge that it's a major contributor in that. And this has happened in hospitals around the country. And so I think that's wonderful. You know, we're giving care to the caregivers, and that really fulfills me to know that we can do that. These people are caring people. We rely on them. We interface with them. And if we can do anything to make their lives better and then they pass that on in the work that they do, I think that's great. That's a service to society in a very mainstream way.
Tell us about the technology behind the work that you're doing, the earth monitoring and the testing. I mean, that must have evolved considerably over the last 25 years.
Yeah, well, we didn't even know we had it 25 years ago. We never even thought about it, but yeah, we weren't that smart, you know. But the technology that our scientists, in conjunction with some other scientists, have developed is measuring very subtle changes occurring in the Earth's energetic fields, and the Earth produces energetic fields. Think about them like Earth, energetic ecology. Many of your listeners have heard of some of them, like geomagnetic field or the ionosphere. These are protective layers around the Earth. They protect us from incoming space weather, like solar winds and cosmic rays, and they're essential. Without these fields, nothing that we would look at as life could exist here. You know, we couldn't live here at all. So these fields are dynamic, and they're always changing. They're always fluctuating, and those changes have been documented a lot on their effect on human health and behavior. But our technology can measure these changes in a very sensitive way. And we are deploying these sensor sites around the world. They're expensive. They cost about $70,000 a piece. We're placing them in various locations around the world, building a network. We have a sensor site in Northern California here where we are, where HeartMath's located. We have one in Northern Canada. We have one in Saudi Arabia. Another one is in Lithuania. We have a site in New Zealand. We have a site in South Africa. Another site's going in very soon in the country of Colombia. And what we're doing with this network is all that data is being sent back to the research labs here in Northern California. And we're doing it for three reasons. The first reason is we want to make a contribution to the academic literature and understanding of these fields. There's a lot to be learned about the Earth's energetic fields, and we can help make a contribution there. The second reason is we are doing really interesting research, like the research I mentioned earlier, on the effect these fields are having on us. I mean, some people hypothesize that these fields are really modulating brain waves and human perception, and that through changes in these fields is how we're going to become new humans. I mean, it gets really wide. So we're doing some research on all of that to understand these effects that these fields are having on us. The third reason is where it gets really interesting, and I'll have to position it as a hypothesis, which means that we're not saying it's true and we're not saying that it's not. It has to go through a scientific process, a rigorous one, to finally come to the conclusion of whether it's real or not. The hypothesis is this, is that mass human emotion being generated by the 7+ billion people on this planet is having a measurable impact on the Earth's fields. In other words, the conversation or the communications going both ways. The fields are affecting us, but we are in fact also affecting these fields. And that could be pretty interesting, because that means that, you know, whatever we're doing as a human race, it's impacting the fields in ways that these fields in turn, you know, give back to us. And so it really would position self-responsibility in a new context, that every thought and feeling that we have is somehow contributing to this larger imprint on the Earth's energetic fields. And so there are a lot of interesting people involved with this. It's called the Global Coherence Initiative Project, and other scientists and other authors are part of it. My friend Greg Braden is with me on the steering committee. Bruce Lipton's involved, Jack Canfield, you know, people like that. When Jack came on board, he said to me he thought it was just, this was the greatest experiment in the history of the world. And I said to him, it's a pretty big statement. Why do you think that? And he said, because if it proved to be true, all of our thoughts and feelings, prayers and intentions would be measurable.
And they are. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with Executive Vice President of HeartMath, founding member of the Global Coherence Initiative, Howard Martin, about how cultivating our heart intelligence is the key to shifting humanity's energies from separation to cooperation.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Spiritual, metaphysical, green living, psychic, alternative healing, life coaching, Do any of these or similar terms apply to your business or cause? If so, you are in a niche market with a very specific audience. Conscious Gate PR is the world's leading conscious public relations agency. With a global reach of over 4 million and growing, we offer comprehensive media campaigns to our targeted market. Learn more at ConsciousGatePR.com. Conscious marketing for conscious minds.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
If you own a gun, you have a full-time responsibility. When you aren't using it, be sure it can't get into the hands of curious children, troubled teenagers, a thief, or anyone else who might misuse it. Your family, friends, and neighbors are all counting on you. Remember, always lock it up. For more information on firearm storage safety, visit ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Howard Martin, I loved what you said before the break. Jack Canfield's comments, you know, that is it, isn't it? Right there. If we begin to understand that, truly comprehend that, then, you know, it's a game changer.
It is. It's a paradigm changer. What's interesting about it, though, Sandy, is we all believe this already. You know, that's why people do things like pray for someone when they're sick. Is there's a belief that that prayer in some way helps. So you go to God and God's going to help, and, you know, the prayer counts. But it, when something becomes scientifically understood, you know, it's just the way the world works right now. Empirical understanding increases the power of belief. And if we showed that, guess what, all of the emotional energy that we generate as a global society is impacting the Earth's fields, that means something's going on there. And then the power of belief in everything that we do increases. And the power of the effectiveness of us to realize that through our own hearts and through our own thoughts and feelings, we can help to change the world. That whole paradigm goes up to another level. And I think that's what's exciting about it. Now, it may take many years for us to prove or not prove that this is true, but we're on it. We're all over it. And I think that's what's important right now, is that we're in the game with it. And hopefully we'll see some results from all this research down the road.
Well, with all of that in mind, can you give us some techniques or methods that would help listeners increase their own heart intelligence?
Yeah, let's do a simple one. It's really good for on shows like this, and something that is a highly useful tool, very simple. But what it does is it puts you in contact with your heart's intelligence. It balances the nervous system, autonomic nervous system. It sends communication from the heart back to the brain that open up higher brain centers. Increase the release of hormones into your system that regenerate you, like extra DHEA and oxytocin, things like that. And all of it happens in a very simple process. Most importantly, it changes perception. It allows us to see through the stressors of life and to find that balance and that self-security. There's three steps to it, and I would love to lead everyone through the steps right now. So step one is called heart focus, and what I'd like everyone to do is to focus your attention in the area in the center of your chest, the area of your heart. If it's helpful, you can put your hand there. But just bring your attention to that area of your body, area in the center of your chest, heart focus. Now with your attention there, we'll go to step two. It's called heart-focused breathing. I want you to breathe naturally and normally, but breathe deeper than you normally would. And as you breathe, I want you to imagine as if your breath is flowing in and out through the area where you have your attention, the area of the heart. And we'll do this now for a couple of breaths. Deep breaths, imagine your breath is flowing in and out through the area of the heart. Now continue to do your heart-focused breathing, and we'll go to step three, which is called heart feeling. Now I'd like you to activate a regenerative, uplifting feeling, probably one associated with heart. maybe you can feel appreciation for the good things in your life. Or perhaps you just feel the love and care you have for someone or something in your life, a person, a place, a pet. Or maybe it's just a sense of well-being, things are okay. Whatever comes to you now, just try to feel that regenerative, uplifting feeling as you continue to do your heart-focused breathing. Okay, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that. Thank you very much. That's a technique you can do anytime, anywhere, with your eyes open or your eyes closed. You can do it driving in your car between going from work to home, for example, or before you make an important phone call or an email that you have to send out. It just requires wanting to do it, a little bit of conscious application, but the steps themselves are easy. The benefits are big. The steps are easy. So the steps, again, are heart-focused breathing, and then the activation of an uplifting heart-based feeling. You do those steps together, and basically you're connecting more deeply with your heart's intelligence, and it'll give you the ability to access more of the intuition that you need to navigate these changing times, and also move some of these stressors, some of the overwhelm and anxious feelings, and many of the feelings that are so natural for all of us in these times.
It's a very expansive feeling, isn't it? You can feel your heart opening and really connecting.
Yeah, what's really interesting about it for me, Sandy, is it is so easy. And you think, wow, you know, I get all that, you know, and just by slowing down and taking a minute or two and doing those three steps. And so many times you just feel like, wow, why didn't I do this an hour ago?
Yeah. Absolutely.
It can be that easy.
Yeah. Before we have to wind up the show, Howard, tell us about you talked a little bit earlier about the AdHeart Facilitator Program. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, well, we have had certification programs at HeartMath for many years for health professionals and coaches and trainers. And I wanted to make this a bit easier, simpler, and less expensive for people. And I wanted people to be able to get involved with us in a direct way and to feel like they were, you know, acknowledged. So I created a short course with my colleagues. It's called the AdHeart Facilitator Program. This is a program that you get, it's shipped to you, you get a guidebook, and you get the sensor for what's called the Inner Balance Trainer. It's our technology app that helps you develop heart's intelligence, improve health, and a lot of benefits. And you get the sensor, and normally that sensor by itself is $160, and it comes with the AdHeart Facilitator Program. Once you get your box, there's a welcome letter in there, and it has a little note card in it. And on the back of that card is a code you use and a URL you go to access a learning management platform. And in that platform, there are 6 audio recordings, only about 20 to 30 minutes in length. So it's not a real long, laborious process. So you listen to the audio recordings. There's things that you're given to suggest as practice. And at the end, you take a simple quiz, examination, and once you pass that, then you become an approved AdHeart facilitator. Now you're in the first step of certification through HeartMath, and you join with this community of thousands of people around the world who have been trained and certified in HeartMath. Part of this community that we are also working to bring together more and activate more to help create this movement of adding heart to the world. So the AdHeart Facilitator is a great way to do that. You can help uplift your own life, but also the lives of others. I guess the basic tenet of this program, the way we designed it, was you learn, you practice, and you share. So you're given all kinds of tips and suggestions on how you share and add more heart to the lives of others. What we found so far, Sandy, it's only been out, you know, a little bit over a month. We've had a really great response to it. And some people are buying it because they just want it for themselves, or maybe they want to teach this to their children or their grandchildren. Others are buying it because they're professionals, like, say, health professionals or fitness instructors, who want to start their sessions with their clients or patients by sharing a HeartMath technique with them. And so this is a program that I wanted to make as, you know, as cost-effective as we could for people, to give people a starting point, a meaningful starting point, to where they become approved and become connected to us and learn a HeartMath technique, get the technology, and learn how to share all that in a really cool way. and I'm excited about it, in case you can't tell, because now I have something that I really feel can a lot of people can participate in. The numbers can go up, and therefore the movement can get stronger. And that's why I worked to create it, and I'm very proud of it. The audio recordings are done by myself, but other heart math people, like, for instance, Dr. Roland McCready, the director of research, does the science section. Deborah Wiseman, another author and CEO of Heart Math, takes people through a guided meditation and stuff like that in there. And I probably do about 70% of it. So that's what it is. Go to heartmath.com, click on the training tab, and then click on introductory program, and you can read all about the At Heart Facilitator program. And I'd love for people who are listening now to at least go take a look at that. Something that I think can help you in your life, and also you'd be making a contribution to the world in, I think, a meaningful way.
And, of course, we mustn't forget that the Global Coherence Initiative do these wonderful gatherings online, meditations, and, you know, thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people join them from all over the globe.
Yeah, they do. So go to heartmath.org for that and click on Global Coherence Initiative. That's free. You can join the Global Coherence Initiative and become part of this grand experiment. And we do put out what's called a care focus every month, and we have people come together around certain subjects and topics where we feel that extra love and care and heart could be beneficial. And certainly the more we do that together, the stronger we become and the greater ability we have to create this new world.
Well, unfortunately, we have to leave it there, but that's on a really positive note, so I'm happy to leave it there. Howard Martin, thank you so much for joining me today. I hope that when we talk next time, we'll see even more expansion. Thanks for being with us, Howard.
Sandy, thank you so much. Appreciate
You're
it so
welcome.
Much.
Always a pleasure. And once again, go to heartmath.org and you can hear more, see more, experience more of everything that Howard's been talking about. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. Thanks for joining me today, and I look forward to being with you at the same time next week. Till then, it's goodbye from me.